The Touching the Trail Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Touching the Trail Podcast, our weekly ritual of peace, presence, and perseverance. This week's episode is episode 167. And before we jump into what I'm going to be talking about today, I just want to take care of a little business as usual. Now, there are two ways that you can support Touching the Trail. The first is that you can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. And the second way that you can support Touching the Trail is that you can go to targetreleaserecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak. Now, these are functional, affordable, unique, and handmade handheld deep tissue massage tools. And both those links are in the show notes. Now, this past weekend, I was sick. And I don't get sick all that often. I had a cold, I believe. And I, to illustrate how little I get sick, in memory, I don't believe that I have been actually sick during my time here in college. So in San Luis Obispo, here at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, I don't believe that I've been sick in any form or fashion, in the terms of like an actual sickness, like a cold or a flu or something like that. And I've been tired, I've been run down, or I've had, you know, other things going on, but I haven't actually been sick. And now I've been at college since September of 2017, so a year and a half, and I haven't gotten sick. And even the times like over summer and breaks and such, when I'm down home in Los Angeles, I wasn't even sick there. So I get sick very, very rarely. So it was kind of unusual to be sick this past weekend, but nevertheless, I was. On Thursday, I was fine, maybe a little run down. I guess I noticed I was kind of tired, maybe noticed, you know, had a little stuffy nose here or there, but it wasn't anything outrageous. I didn't think much of it. I didn't think that it was anything particularly special, I guess you can say. I just thought it was just me being a little tired and that I'll get over it. This past weekend, I had penciled in for it to be a pretty substantial training weekend, probably the biggest training weekend that I will do before my next race, which will be my first race since May of last year, since I ran the Born to Run 30 miler. So that this race coming up, the Santa Barbara Nine Trails, is in 2 weeks. So it's on Saturday, March 23rd, and it is going to be brutal. It's a 35 miler in the mountains above Santa Barbara in that front range there. And it just runs up and down the trails there, kind of a zigzag plastered against the mountainsides. And those trails right there above Santa Barbara, right here in California, are probably some of the most brutal trails that I've ever run. And I've run all over the Western United States, from the bottom of the Grand Canyon up to the top of the Sierras. And I've encountered a lot of different terrain in my adventures, but still, those trails in the Santa Barbara Range there are brutal, to put it in one word. Their technicality with rocks and roots, and the way the sand or the powder, the dirt, whatever you want to call it, can get really fine. And so it lays over those rocks in a very thin layer that makes it very slippery at times. And then higher up, the rocks get very jagged with the vegetation closing in out of the sides of the trails as well, snagging at your clothes and at your legs. It really does kind of all add together to create a very brutal and tough scenario to run in those trails, especially when it gets hot. And there is a very likely possibility that next weekend might be hot. I don't know what the temperatures are exactly, but in years past, it has gotten quite, the temperatures have, you know, rose up there on the thermometer at that race. So we'll see what is in store come, you know, a week and a half from now. And so this past weekend, it was supposed to be my biggest training block before the race. Unfortunately, that was canceled, I guess you can say, that idea because of my sickness. I had to readjust, I had to listen to my body, and I had to not run. That was the best course of action because I did not want to, you know, push through the sickness and run this past weekend and then go into the race still sick or just barely being having been gotten over the sickness or anything of those scenarios. I wanted to prevent that possibility at all costs. So I decided in talking with my dad that the best course of action was just to not run this past weekend. So I ran on Friday because I wasn't sure if I was, you know, sick per se, or if I was just really tired and kind of had some allergies going or something like that. So I did, I think it was 8 miles on the road. Listen to my body. I didn't kill myself or anything with that effort. It wasn't outrageous from the way I was feeling. Granted, it probably would have been smarter to just not run on Friday as well. But that was before I really had like solidified in my mind that I was indeed sick. Like I said, I still kind of felt that I was maybe just tired and had a stuffy nose, but that's about it. Maybe a headache. But as I listened to my body more on that run and afterwards, I realized, no, this is something different than how you usually feel when you're tired, Jared. This is a cold or something like that. So after taking care of some errands and such on Friday, I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to take the rest of Friday afternoon and all of Saturday to just rest, to just push all of, you know, other things I need to get done out of my head, out of my mind, and just rest. Just completely let go, I guess you can say. And that's something I rarely do. I'm always going. And so it's very interesting for me to just stop it all this past weekend. And it was actually obviously quite enjoyable to just relax and to just rest fully. So come Saturday, I just woke up in the morning, slept in, did not run. Went through my day restfully, obviously, and come Sunday, I decided that, you know, it was not smart to go out and run. I still was very sick, and so I needed to rest that day as well. And this whole weekend, you know, dealing with a runny / stuffy nose, pressure in my head, and various things like that. And I'm just barely getting over the sickness now. It's kind of, you know, rose up and down here and there, highs and lows over the past couple days, Monday and today. As I've been getting better, but I think I'm on the upward trend of getting over this thing, and so hopefully by this weekend I'll be able to put in a big effort for the race. This whole weekend I just, like I said, just lie down and just relaxed and just spent time in my room here on campus where I live, and did not go downtown, did not like get in my car and drive somewhere, did not go and do anything that I would normally do on the weekends here in SLO. I just stayed in the room with, you know, some tissue for my nose and just rested, just played the part of a sick person because that's what I was. I actually watched a lot of movies. I watched 6. I watched War for the Planet of the Apes, Kill Bill Volume 1, Silence of the Lambs, which I had never seen before, incredible. Jaws, which I also had never seen before, incredible. The Prestige, which I had also never seen before, and it was interesting. And 7. So that's 6 movies for a weekend. Kat, I guess, is a perfect illustration of how much of a do-nothing weekend it was. But I, as I always try to see new movies on a consistent basis to fill in those gaps in my film education, I've been trying to do that for the past few months now, since more than a few months, I mean half a year or more, since like August of last year. I've been really obsessed with movies, and so I've been trying to fill in all those classic movies that I've never seen. And so Silence of the Lambs and Jaws definitely qualify, and The Prestige to a certain extent as well. But I can definitely, and definitely did see why Silence of the Lambs and Jaws are heralded as such great movies. I deeply enjoyed them and loved every minute of watching them. I painted and I drew this weekend. I actually made like a few paintings of different, exploring different skills that I want to develop. Did some abstract, like landscape painting, then it's an abstract portraiture, and then drew with some pencils and colored pencils, practice shading and things like that. So I've been really trying to expand and develop my skills, my artistic skills in that sense, and it was a wonderful time to explore that realm this past weekend as well. But throughout all of this, this whole sickness, this whole, you know, battling what I didn't expect, which was getting sick, it really got me thinking, though, about the fact that we, as people, especially here in America, may not even consciously realize that we're tired, but we very well may be and often are, and it could easily lead to sickness. This weekend really did tell me that I am tired, I was tired, and that I need to rest. And I didn't really, in the weeks leading up to getting sick, realize that I was particularly tired or fatigued or any other word you want to use. But by getting sick, my body was saying, hey, Jared, just take a moment, just slow it all down, rest. I view it as kind of a warning sign of, hey, you were kind of running yourself into the ground there, whether you realized it or not, and you need to take a moment and just get back to center and move forward from there. And that's really what this weekend provided me the opportunity to do, was to rest and to get it all back. So I kind of want to explore the relationship between tiredness, between fatigue and sickness. So first off, I want to kind of explain what the basic function of your immune system is. So the basic function of your immune system is to protect your body from infection. And I'm sure you already know that. I'm sure you're not surprised by that. But it at its most simplistic explanation, it works like a battlefield. So the T cells are the foot soldiers. And these protein regulators like cytokines are the generals, I guess you can say. So they kind of determine where this T cells, the foot soldiers, need to go and need to fight the infection. So the T cells go out and wage this war with the infection. The infection is kind of the invading army, if you will. And they do that to keep you healthy. Now, according to two studies on the subject, fatigue is a predictor of absence from work due to sickness, particularly long-term absence. According to the scientific literature, fatigue, specifically due to lack of sleep, as we all know, can weaken your immune system, leading to infection and may lead to an increased risk of obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. Now, lack of sleep can decrease your T cells, which are those important foot soldiers, and so that will lead you to be less able to fight off infection. Now, it is important to remember that proper rest keeps your body's proteins and hormones and other important aspects of your immune system in balance. Lack of sleep throws off that ratio, and so, for example, during a period where you are getting adequate rest, cytokines play a role in regulating sleep. However, when you are in a period with a lack of adequate sleep, cytokines play their other role, which is that of inflammation. That begins to take precedence, and that can negatively impact your body's response capability. So, in other words, the main takeaway of all of this, of all the scientific literature, is pretty simple. Tiredness equals sickness. More accurately, tiredness can equal sickness. It increases your likelihood of infection. Now, the question really becomes, how do we prevent this? How do you stay healthy? Now, I want to outline a few practices here that I am going to begin to employ more rigorously and consistently in my day-to-day life, and already kind of do employ and do my best to avoid sickness. And that is a major way that I am able to not get sick for so long and go so long between sicknesses because I incorporate these practices into my daily life. Now, the first step is, I'm sure you're pretty obvious, get adequate sleep. And it's really about quality over quantity. So it's not about sleeping more per se. In fact, there are some studies show that more sleep in adults, past 10 hours, say, can actually negatively impact you. That, I'm not going to necessarily delve into that, but really it comes down to finding an amount of time, whether that's 7 or 8 or however many hours, where you feel rested, and largely rested, to the best of your ability upon waking up. And all of that, I've explored before in other podcasts and on the blog, comes from consistency. Really is kind of really what it comes down to, is going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time each day. And there are many other practices when it relates to sleep that you can incorporate into your day-to-day life to increase your... And so it's really about finding an amount of time, whether that's 7 or 8 or however many hours, that works for you. That when you wake up in the morning, you feel largely rested. And it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed every single day. There's always going to be fluctuations, obviously. And there are many tactics that you could incorporate into your day-to-day life into your sleep routine to increase the quality of your sleep. And I've explored those in other episodes here on the podcast and on the blog. And I would specifically encourage you to go look at on the writings on Touching the Trail, why you should wake up early. It's a post from February 7th, a piece from February 7th, where I explore tactics for you to increase your quality of sleep. And I will link that in the show notes. One of the key ways that you can do so is to go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time each day. Now that is really all about consistency, is keeping your routine and sticking to it. And that is a difficult thing to accomplish in today's society. But the more you can keep a consistent bedtime and wake up time, the better your sleep will be. The second practice that I will encourage you to do to prevent sickness and prevent fatigue is drink water. And that is a simple solution, really, but it's one we often forget. And I encourage consistent, there's that word again, water intake throughout the day. Always have a full water bottle near you so that you can drink, you're more inclined to drink as you go throughout your day. And it's not about drinking when you're thirsty or when your mouth is dry. It's about taking in water throughout the day from a water bottle that's right near you so that you have an easier reach to it, so that it's not something you have to put a lot of work into going out and finding water somewhere, you know, from a water fountain or whatever it may be, getting a water bottle from somebody else or something, or buying one, because then that takes work. And so you'll more easily forget to do it. But if you have a water bottle right there in your backpack or on your desk or on your person, it's much easier for you to drink water throughout the day. The third practice that I would recommend is meditation. And again, that is an obvious solution, but it's one that is so little in the grand scheme of things incorporated into our society's day-to-day lives. So this past weekend, I really came to the realization that one of the key ways that I needed to rest was beyond the physical, was the mental rest that I needed to do. That often my days are consumed with my mind always going, trying to think of new ideas or thinking of things about score, thinking about things I have to get done, or just going, as we all do. Our minds are always on. And so I realized that I rarely calm the chaotic mind that we have, whether that's, you know, the times I do, it's like when I meditate, you know, and I'm not even that good at it, so rarely, or when I'm on a run, or little snippets throughout the day do I quiet the mind, but it's not something I do often. And so that is really what I had to practice this past weekend, is quieting the mind. And meditation is a wonderful tool to do just that. And I've explored meditation in countless conversations here on the podcast and on the website. And so I would direct you to the meditation resources page on the website under resources. It's easy to find, where you can find out more about kind of how to go about that whole nebulous concept. As I've talked about before, it seems nebulous from the outside, but it really isn't. When it comes down to it, it's about presence. It's about bringing your mind out of the chatter, out of all of the thoughts that are racing around, and into the moment. And the tool that is most often used to do that is the breath. Focusing on the breath in and the breath out, the breath in and the breath out. Whether that's for 5 or 10 or 15 or an hour or whatever it is, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. It's about focusing on something that will allow you to return yourself to the present moment. And throughout that meditation, throughout that 10-minute session that you're doing or whatever it may be, you will wander. You will fall off that focus and you will start thinking again. You will get caught up in thought. But the skill is really built in your ability to return to the moment, to return to the breath, to recognize that those thoughts don't have control over you, and to recognize that those thoughts aren't your masters, to accept them, to acknowledge them, and to let them go. Like you're watching a freeway and cars driving by, or lying in the grass and watching clouds go by, to let them pass on so that you can be back there with the breath and with the moment. And that's really what it all comes down to in its kind of its simplest form. And it's nothing more complicated than that. The simplicity of it, that you can do it anywhere, that you always have the tools available to you, because they're all in your head, is really kind of the beauty about it and the accessibility that it provides to everyone. So the next practice that I would definitely recommend to prevent sickness is, of course, diet, watching what you put on your plate. And the things to avoid are obvious: processed foods, processed sugars and breads and such things of that nature, cheap packaged foods, foods high in chemicals, and animal products, especially dairy and meats. And those are all things I've talked about many, many times here on the podcast, but they all really come down to the fact that they're things that don't aid the nutrition in your body, that don't aid the cycles of your body, that don't aid how your body functions. In fact, they harm it. They negatively impact it. So if you can watch your intake of those specific things and anything else really that you, when you put it in your body, it may taste good in the moment and it may taste good for a little while after, but you recognize that it does negatively impact you, and building that awareness is another tactic. But if you do notice that, then of course, limiting or avoiding or eliminating that from your plate as well. And as I've talked about many, many times before, that is a process. That is not something you're going to get right away. But I would definitely kind of cite what I put on my plate and meditation is probably the two ways that I stave off sickness, that I prevent sickness from onsetting in my body. And the next practice that I will recommend is physical activity. And I think that would be the third most important way in my day-to-day life that sickness is prevented. So when I say physical activity, whatever form that comes in for you, all I mean is that you get out and you push your body. You push your limits. And that doesn't mean that you have to go all out every day, every workout. But if you can build that steady rise over days and weeks and months and years where you feel your body getting stronger and you keep that consistent strength increase. And when I say strength, I don't mean necessarily just musculature in a gym, you know, pushing weights. That could be swimming in the pool or riding a bike or running or whatever it may be. If you can build, again, consistency, see how important that is, with your ability to step out every day into whatever arena you perform that physical activity in, whether that's a gym or on a running track or on a bike or in a pool or wherever it may be. If you do that every day, you will find that not only will you keep your body healthy through, you know, building a strong body that can prevent sickness, you will also build a strong mind, which is an aspect of preventing sickness that isn't often talked about, but it is just as important because the mindset that you have going into situations and going into life is so key to stay healthy. It's so key to make sure that you're in tip-top shape as often as you can if you have a strong mindset, if you have an ability to persevere through challenges and not let them break you down or weaken you. Because if you let the challenge at work or in your relationship or wherever it may be break down your mindset, it will break down your body as well. But you have to remember to listen to your body. As I did this past weekend, it may be fine and well to keep consistent and push your body each and every day. But when it comes to those points when you realize and you recognize, hey, you know, going out today, it's not going to be the smartest thing. In fact, it will probably negatively impact me. So today, not going to go. And that's what I did this past weekend. I didn't run. And that was most definitely the best decision because it allowed me to rest and recover and get stronger and come back this week with running again. So the final practice is one that I've mentioned many times, and that's consistency. And when I say consistency, it's not just about keeping a consistent sleep pattern or keeping a consistent run routine or riding routine or swimming routine. It's consistency with all of these practices. It's drinking water throughout the day, every day. It's getting out and running every day. It's putting good, beneficial, healthy things on your plate every day. It's meditating every day. It's building a practice, as that's why I've been calling them it a practice, so that your body understands that this is something you do. This is you. This is your routine. And so it works with you, and it gets stronger and he gets used to the fact that, hey, yeah, we don't get sick because we're strong and because we have these practices and these routines, and we can stave off sickness and we can prevent it. And that consistency is especially important to keep in check and to keep going during these cold months when it is so much easier and much more common to become sick. And lo and behold, that's when I became sick, right here in March, in early March. And it's been cold. And I definitely do believe and know that, you know, the cold plays a role in getting sick. And so all of these things come together to create a situation where it is more likely for you to get sick if it is cold, if you are weakening your body by not going out and working out, not eating well, not meditating, having that chaotic mind. All of those things come together to contribute to a body that is much, much more likely to be taken down by a cold or a flu or whatever it may be. So the more that you can keep all of these practices in mind, and more that you recognize in your own life are beneficial for you to prevent sickness, the longer you can go between getting sick and get sick much and much less often. So if you are interested in what Touching the Trail is up to, I would definitely tell you to go to touchingthetrail.com, where you can read the writings. As I told you, I'd refer you to the Why You Should Wake Up Early piece, so you can explore tactics for you to increase the quality of your sleep. So you can read the resources, as I said earlier, read the meditation resources so you can explore meditation. You can contact me if you ever have any questions or comments or just want to talk via the contact page on the website. And of course, you can sign up for the Touching the Trail Weekly, the newsletter that I send out every weekend. And if you sign up for the first time, you'll get a free vegan recipe ebook, Touching the Trail Recipes, filled with all of my favorite recipes. And you will also get every week the book club, book crew, where I will recommend to you a book. You'll get a spiritual quote breakdown and a weekly challenge to help you better yourself. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Touching the Trail on Instagram, at Touch the Trail on Twitter, and the Touching the Trail page on Facebook. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show and share it out with your friends and your family and your coworkers and anybody who else who wants to better themselves. And make sure to leave a review if you're enjoying the show every week. It lets me know that you're out there and that you're listening and that you're enjoying what I do. And if you want to help support the show, you can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. And as I've said many, many times before, Touching the Trail is built and based in the Buddhist concept of dana, of generosity, of giving. And so this tribe cannot continue to grow without your help. And as a college student, I want to make this a sustainable endeavor. So please go to touchingthetrail.com/donate. You can also go to targetreleaserecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak. Now these are functional, affordable, unique, and handmade, handheld deep tissue massage tools. And all of those links are in the show notes, and all of the resources for today's episode are also linked in the show notes. Now, going forward this week, please remember that it is up to you to keep your body healthy and prevent sickness. And you do so, really all of this comes down to listening to your body. You do so by listening to your body and what it is telling you. And you can only do that by being present and by listening. So listen to your body and remember to go far, go further. And I will see you all next week on the Touching the Trail podcast. Thanks for listening. The Touching the Trail podcast.